Hey guys, it's Monday, and I hope that you have recovered from the 11 plus minute new and 22 I did on Friday. Thank you for your mercy on that, but I felt it was important to really talk at least a little bit in depth about spiritual gifts. We're still in this section of 1 Corinthians. We're in 1 Corinthians 13, and in this section between the 12th and the 14th chapter, it talks about spiritual gifts. But it goes a different direction today. It doesn't just give lists of spiritual gifts and tell what they are, but Paul makes a point here to talk about what's even more important. I'm going to read the chapter to you. It's that good. Maybe you've heard the Beatles song, "All You Need Is Love." And as long as that love starts with Jesus, yeah, that is all we need. Love for Jesus will cover everything else. But I think there's some really important things to chew on here in 1 Corinthians 13. So I want to encourage you today as you're reading it, really to just soak it in. If you've ever been to a wedding before, or if you've ever been to a wedding I perform at least, I guarantee you've heard 1 Corinthians 13, at least the 4th through the 8th verses. But I'm going to read again the whole chapter to you. It says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and angels, but I have not love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal." Every time I read this, I think about a show that was on that some of you will remember that's going to age me here in the late 70s, maybe early 80s, called The Gong Show. And on The Gong Show, people would come out on a stage to perform, and if they were doing really well, then the judges would look very pleased. If they were not doing very well, then, and I know there's shows on TV now that's kind of the same idea, but if they weren't any good, then any of the judges could walk over at any moment and take this big old stick and hit this huge cymbal, the gong. They'd hit this cymbal, and then at that point in time, it was very apparent that it wasn't worth their time. So what Paul is saying here, going back to 1 Corinthians 13, is if you have all these gifts in the world, but you don't have love, it's not even worth it. It's not worth the time. He goes on to say, if I have the gift of prophecy, and I can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames, but I don't have love, I gain nothing. And then here's the part that most of you, or some of you at least, will recognize. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it'll pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when perfection comes, the imperfect disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put childish things behind me. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now you know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. You know, every time I do a wedding in recent years, I tell couples after I read that scripture, or I read verses 4 through 8, I read all of those things. And sometimes I tell couples to place their name in there instead of love is patient, love is kind. I say your name. Brant is patient. Brant is kind. Brant is not envious. Bran is not boasting. Bran is not prideful. Bran is not rude or selfish or quick-tempered. Bran is forgiving. He keeps no record of wrongs. He doesn't delight in evil. He rejoices in the truth. He protects. He trusts. He hopes. And he perseveres. You know, I wish I could say all of those statements about Bran are true. But they're not. Because there's times that I'm not patient. There's times that I'm not kind. There's times that all of these things that I am called to do, if I'm truly loving, I fall short of. So here's what I want to encourage you to do. I encourage you to take this chapter, if you got a few minutes today, and I encourage you to do this. Take these things, this list: patient, kind, not envious, not boasting, not prideful, not rude, not selfish, not quick-tempered, forgiving, not delighting in evil, rejoicing in the truth, protecting, trusting, hoping, persevering. Write those down and give yourself a little ranking on how you do those things. This isn't a definition of love, but this is showing us how to love. And we are supposed to love others the way that this calls us to love. This isn't just for married people. And remembering all along, the definition of love is God. The Bible tells us God is love. We're to be Christ-like. Let's work on loving in all of our relationships in these ways, because when it all comes down to it, you can have whatever spiritual gift, but if you don't have love in your heart, love for God and love for others, it doesn't really mean anything. I'll be back with you tomorrow in 1 Corinthians 14.